You folks always often ask me if I ever get responses to letters I write. So yesterday, I received a response from the Department of Justice regarding my request that they carefully review the proposed Dow-DuPont merger. The department stated that they would thoroughly enforce Section 7 of the Clayton Act, which prohibits mergers and acquisitions that substantially lessen competition. The seed industry is on the brink of a massive realignment. If the Dow-DuPont and then again the Chem-China-Syngenta deals are completed. There are also strong indications that Monsanto could be acquired by another company. Regulators face a great task in analyzing these proposed transactions. Now, considered individually, these transactions may not present substantial opposition. However, if these transactions are completed in the same year, the industry would be substantially transformed. The current structure of the six major seed and chemical companies would be reduced to four only, one of which would be owned by the Chinese government. Farmers and ranchers continue to raise questions about the impact of these mergers to me, and I'm sure to other senators as well. Some are more concerned than the others, but I will continue to monitor the industry and the actions taken by the Justice Department to ensure that there is a competitive seed industry. So really about the only, after reading that statement to you, about the only thing we get from the Justice Department is probably all that they can give us at this point, but they know that Senator Grassley, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, as I would if I were not chairman of the committee, is interested in these. I want to make sure they do their job, and they say that they're going to thoroughly enforce Section 7 of the Clayton Act. So, I'm ready for questions.
Okay, we can start with Tom.
Good morning, Senator. Senator, staying on the merger and working with the Justice Department, is there any anti-competitive legislation that you're working on or any other steps that you're taking following this response, or are you just going to monitor and see what happens through Justice?
Well, I could get updates from time to time, but I'm not sure that I'm going to do that. But here's what, my town meetings, and I'll probably find out this tomorrow when I'm down there in southeast Iowa holding Q&A sessions with constituents. This will probably be brought up from time to time, and I probably can't tell them much more than I told you. But the reaction of Iowans, particularly in agriculture, to these mergers is going to be a big a factor on what we might do. But I don't anticipate any legislation because as old as these antitrust laws are, some of them going back, I think, to the 1990s, and all of them are more than 100 years old for the most part, at least the initial legislation. And we have found that they've been basically pretty good statutes. It depends upon how they're going to be enforced. And so that's the purpose of my letter there, is to make sure that, that they do their job. If they do their job, we've probably had some mergers go through that maybe I thought shouldn't go through. And then we've had some mergers that I wondered, why did they hold those up? There seems to be a real determined effort, though, to work through these very carefully by this Department of Justice.
Senator, if they do indeed enforce that Section 7 you were talking about, would that be enough to stop that merger?
Say that again, please.
I say if they were to enforce the Section 7 that you talked about, would that be enough to stop the merger?
Yeah, unless the companies appealed it to the courts, that would be true. And sometimes the courts agree with the Justice Department, and sometimes they don't agree. But I think there's some deference to the Justice Department, and so there'd have to be probably an extraordinary reason why the courts would stop the merger if the Justice Department said it could go through. Maybe I said that wrong. I think what I'm trying to say is if the Justice Department would say that it shouldn't go through, then probably the companies are not going to take it to the courts. But if somebody else took it into the courts, if the Justice Department said it could go through, and obviously none of the companies would take it to the courts, but somebody outside could take it to the courts, then I don't know whether it... the chances are that there's some deference by the courts to the Justice Department. You know what I'm not sure, just let me make something clear. Maybe it goes automatically from the Justice Department to the courts to get an up or down final verdict. I'm not sure that I know that that's the final step that has to be taken, or whether just DOJ can say no. My staff could clear that up for you if that's important. Next question.
Okay, Matt.
Yeah, good morning, Senator. A couple of questions. One is you raised the issue in an earlier conference call about the possibility of holding a hearing on the DowDuPont merger. Is that still on the table? Have you thought about it?
Of course that's still on the table. And when I say that so quickly with a yes, I don't want you to interpret that mean that I'm just waiting to do that. That's going to depend upon probably what I hear from constituents in my town meetings or from other senators, what they hear in their states. And then maybe otherwise... if I just think that Justice Department hasn't done a thorough enough job and I want to expose them for not doing their job, or I might want to clear up some things before they make a final decision. The last time we did that was December last year on the German beer company buying Miller, as an example. So... but what we got out of that was something that was pretty important to the draft breweries in the little breweries that we have in Iowa, that they wanted to make sure that the power of that merger did not affect the distribution of their beer by the distributors that are pretty much a monopoly for a particular beer or soft drink company.
My second question is the St. Louis Post-Dispatch ran a story this week that USDA's Farm Service Agency is running out of cash for loan guarantees and direct loans that farmers use as a last resort to keep their businesses operating. I understand USDA has turned to an emergency fund. Any thoughts about whether Congress needs to step in, especially with commodity prices so low and mounting trade competition?
I'm sure that if the agency needs money to carry out their work without making more people eligible for it, et cetera, that they will get supplied. But if they got some emergency funds that they can use, I don't see Congress stepping in. But if those emergency funds would run out, then I don't think that that there's going to be a problem if they don't run out. So I wouldn't worry about it right now. But here's it's not like you're appropriating a dollar, and that dollar's gone forever. Usually out of $100 that is appropriated for a program like that, the federal government, being a lender of last resort, might lose $7 out of that $100. So really what you're replenishing and what actually costs the taxpayers is that $7 out of $100.
Just one other anecdotal question, if I could. I believe at the Democratic National Convention last evening, I believe there was an introduction of Senator Chester as the only farmer in the United States Senate. I'm not sure if it was Senator Schumer who made that comment, but I clearly remember it, and I immediately thought of you. Is there more than one farmer in the United States Senate?
The way I usually say it, I'm one of two senators. Well, prior to Senator Tester coming, I said I was the only family farmer in the United States Senate. Since he's come, I said there's two of us that are United States senators that are family farmers. And that's what should have been said about him last night. But I'm sure that at the Democratic National Convention, it wouldn't surprise you, would it, if they wouldn't want to give Chuck Grassley any credit for being a family farmer.
Just so
you guys understand, I farm crop share with my son on my land, and I'm involved in the risk, and I'm involved in you might call me surplus help on the farm, because I got a grandson in the farming operation. You got a grandson in the farming operation, you kind of get the feeling they don't want grandpas around. But when they need it, when they need an extra hand, they get it from Chuck Grassley.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to give you a chance to set the record straight.
Well, God bless you. You're one of the few journalists that want to make sure a Republican get a fair shot. Thank you.
Well, we call it fact-checking.
Oh, well, good. And by the way, he raises some crops that I don't raise. I think he raises some of those peas or beans that you actually, human beings eat, navy beans, I don't know what you call them. And then he raises something that I don't think we raise anything in Iowa, lentil or something like that. And then he's a wheat farmer. I don't think he's much of a corn and soybean farmer. And then I think he's got cattle, too.
All right. Well, next time you see him, you can let him know that Schumer ought to get his facts straight.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, Kara?
Hi, Senator Grassley. How are you this morning?
Go ahead, Kara.
Yeah, thank you. I have been following the conventions the last 2 weeks, and both presidential candidates have said they're against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. They're not really big fans. I was curious, in your opinion, and I know this is a while off until the lame duck session, but as of right now, where things stand, what is the likelihood that Congress will address or ratify the TPP in the lame duck session?
Well, if it's after January 20th next year and nothing's been done by then, Congress can't act under TPA until it's submitted to Congress by the president. So if you got a president that's never going to submit it to Congress, it won't come up for a vote. And since it has to be presented to Congress 90 days before we can vote on it, and President Obama wants it as part of his legacy, he would have to submit it right in the middle of the Democratic convention, and I don't see his doing that because I think it would impact negatively on Hillary Clinton. So I'm very pessimistic about the chances of getting it up, but I think that at least for agriculture, what I know about it for agriculture and also from the various advocacy groups for soybeans and for corn and for meat that we export, et cetera, they feel it's a big deal for us, and that from an agricultural standpoint, it ought to pass. But I think it's bad. This is something that, again, that I hear from my town meetings around Iowa. The question you ask, but most of the people that ask the questions at my town meetings are from people that think TPP should pass.
Senator, this is Matt again. If I could follow up on that TPP question, we spoke with both a Republican and a Democrat this week, John Block, a former USDA secretary in the Reagan administration, and also Paul Drazik, who's a former trade advisor in the Bill Clinton administration. Both of them have suggested that they think there's a bit of wiggle room here on TPP, maybe not in a lame duck, but in a new administration, there may still be the possibility that TPP could be taken up by Congress. Who has more politically? Who has more wiggle room on this? Do you think in
Hillary,
new administration? Hillary Clinton, or Donald Trump? Who has more wiggle room?
I think
to
Hillary
bring up
Clinton.
TPP?
But that's based upon where I think she was coming from before Sanders got in the race.
Yes, but you think she would have the political mandate to go against the unions after strongly opposing TPP in this election?
I just believe, well, you know, what do you know about a candidate, what they say? But you also know that it wasn't as Secretary of State, she said she was for it. So isn't it odd that now she's against it? Isn't it odd that Kane, two or three days before he was selected by her to be the vice presidential nominee, he was saying more good about it than bad about it. And then just as soon as he's nominated, he's all of a sudden against it. So you'll have to sort that out. You're asking me to analyze. It's difficult for me to analyze, and I probably shouldn't even be analyzing.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Yes, Kara Hart with Farm Network, and this may be a little too soon of a question to ask. I'll go ahead and ask it. Secretary Vilsack, since he wasn't VP for Clinton, do you see him staying around in some kind of a role moving forward?
Well, of course, that's going to be up to Hillary Clinton. If Secretary Vilsack's going to have anything to do with the next administration, she's going to choose that. I would tell you the history of a Republican Secretary of Agriculture from Tama County, Iowa, called Tama Jim Wilson. He served three different presidents. They were all Republicans in three different presidencies for the longest-serving Secretary of Agriculture, either 16 years or 20 years. And so it wouldn't be unusual, particularly for an Iowan like Vilsack is, to be a Secretary of Agriculture in her administration. But I wouldn't have the slightest idea. I'm just saying that we have some precedent for them staying over. He could also be some other cabinet position. And I would imagine he's probably going to want to do something different. But I mean, both in government or out of government. Okay, anybody else?
Senator Grassley, this is Ben Nulli with the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. How are you?
Yeah, very good. How are you?
Doing well. I have a quick question for you. I guess a week ago, Reuters had this poll out suggesting that people don't necessarily know or care what's going into their gas tanks. I guess they were relating to ethanol with this survey. How do you react to that?
Well, there's some progress in a statement and a public attitude like that, because we were led to believe for years and years that people didn't like ethanol and didn't want it in their gas tank. And if they're accepting it now and don't really care, that's probably just the opposite of what it was maybe 10 years ago and going back 30 years.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, thank you all. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you.